said, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And if you don't, if you don't get it, if you don't have to know everything. But if you're walking according to what you do know, crystals will show up.
Yeah.
Friends will show up and say, no, that's a bad decision. You know, people are do these things, and that's the last they see of their loved ones. So thank God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to start off. I wrote down a few thoughts here for Memorial Day. Like I say, we face a different time now than we ever did before. But this thoughts occurred to me, and I wrote these down. As we have in the past, we once again set aside a day to honor the fallen who forsook their own personal dreams and aspirations and gave their lives for the sake of freedom. We know that their sacrifices only find their fulfillment in the gratitude we show as we carry on their legacy by taking up the same torch of freedom so others can also live the dreams that all of us will one day leave behind. This is passing the torch, it's taking it up. Our thanks and gratitude cannot be expressed in mere words, ceremonies, or parades. It can only find its full expression in the courageous heart of a patriot who stands for freedom among the modern-day threats of ridicule, ostracism by fellow workers, fellow students, by college professors, and even loss of employment. Those who are willing to go and pray for young girls heading into abortion clinics, knowing that their prayers could lead them to FBI raids, arrests, prisons, while criminals with multiple arrests for violent offenses are being set free. This is reality. This is a new kind of war that produces new kinds of sacrifices, new kinds of victims whose wounds are internal, afflicted by their own employers, their own neighbors, their own government, their own family. When it arrives on our doorstep or in our office or even in our churches, public libraries, our courts, our schools, we need to be reminded of those brave heroes who counted their lives as nothing without freedom. Do you want to live without freedom? I don't. But we always have a choice no matter what situation we're in. We have a choice, and that is freedom. So if you're arrested and thrown in jail for preaching the gospel or for living the right standards, the biblical standards, you have the choice to do that. So you're still free in prison. You're freer than any prisoner that's in there. We are a new kind of patriot. And as we honor the fallen who laid down their lives in wars in the past, we need to take up the torch they left us. Their unfinished work is an ongoing battle and will require the same iron resolve. They believe that freedom was worth the fight, worth their own lives. And as we remember them and honor them, we must remember that their sacrifice remains unfinished without us, incomplete without us, standing with them, ready to do what is needed in our time as they were willing to do what was needed in their time. This is truly how we honor their sacrifice. It's the legacy of a fallen hero and fallen heroes as their strength finds its way into our hearts, strengthening us and encouraging us to lock shields with them in the ongoing fight for freedom. They deserve our iron resolve. They deserve because simply for the freedom that they left us. You know, if you leave these shores to go to battle in Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan or any place else in the world. In Thomas Jefferson's day, it was the Mediterranean and the Barbary Wars. This country has been at war for freedom all its life under the threat of tyranny ever since we cast that off in the Revolutionary War. We need to lock shields with them and honor them by doing what they did in the form that we need to do it in now. Let's stand. Can we do that? Stand up together in that? Let's pray. Stand up, if you would. Heavenly Father, we understand that there's a war out there that's raging that we didn't ask for any more than anybody else in this country ever asked for. But it's there. And the freedom is there for the taking.
Yeah.
And those who have information dominance through the internet and all these people that have canceled the cancel culture that has ruined and destroyed the narrative of those who would stand up for freedom, we say that that is a weapon formed against the church, and it will not prosper because we cast it down in the name of Jesus. We set our hearts in agreement. We are more than two here on the earth setting our hearts in agreement that evil will be eradicated from our public media, that their platform will be destroyed, yes, that they will be unmasked, and that they will be shown to be in the wrong.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, that any tongue that rises up against us in judgment shall be condemned. Yes. Even as you promised Abraham that those who bless you, bless him will be blessed, and those who curse him will be cursed. And that legacy carried on through Israel, manifested in the church, and the same stands for us because we are the Israel of God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you from our innermost being, knowing that that freedom is ours to take, that that freedom is ours. It has been delivered to us by you through the Declaration of Independence that declares all men are created equal. And that they are endowed by you. This doesn't come from government, doesn't come from legislation, doesn't come from courts. It comes from you. That freedom to pursue the life, liberty, and happiness is ours. Guaranteed. So, Lord, yes, we stand up. We lift up our voice. And this world will hear the spirit of faith as they've never heard it before. They will hear the spirit of reconciliation as they've never heard it before. They will drop their arms and they will repent and come to you. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity, for the power of the gospel to be released through us in this hour, in this day, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You wonderful God. Ha ha. You know, we're talking about the joy of our identity in Christ. There's joy in that. You know, you can have joy in the midst of trials.
Amen.
Count it all joy. Say amen or oh me. Either one. Praise God. Well, let's get right into our weekly confession today. There it is. Boy, you're Johnny on the spot, Stephen. Praise God. It's going to be a good morning. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what hallelujah means, right? It means praise the Lord in any language. Praise God. So we are concluding our series today, The Joy of Our Identity in Christ. And of course, we can't hit every cylinder on this whole thing, but we open it up enough for you to do your own personal study and understand that you do have an identity in Christ that was given to you by the Father. The only one who can miss out on anything that that identity represents is you. Mm-hmm. You know, religious people hate to hear this stuff. They want to blame everything on God. Say, well, God let me down. God did it. God. No. No. That's wrong. You know, like I said before, when we first started out, that God is a good God. God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. God is a powerful God. But there are things, as when God gave free will, you know, he said this in Deuteronomy 29:29. He says, "Today I set before you good and evil, life and death, blessing and cursing." Right? That's free will. You choose. Everybody has the right to choose. God didn't want robots, so he gave man a choice. That's why that tree was in the garden in the first place. Man had a choice. Could you imagine if, let me put it this way, if you had, let's say you're a single guy and say, "Lord, I want the perfect wife. I want the one, she'll do what I say to do. She'll respond the way I want her to respond." And so he brings along this robot, perfect woman, and she has no choice. She has to serve you. She has to love you. But she does it because she has to, not because she wants to. That's the difference. You know, when God came to you, he wants you to want him. He wants you to love him. He invested his love in you so that that love could be the same love that it caused him to give his only son. Love gives. God gives back to him. Love is a powerful thing. And he values that love when it comes from you. Like a little child that comes to you and say, "Dad, you're a good dad. I really love you." Do you know what that does to the heart of the father? Big time, right? Well, that's what it does to God. Amen. So we talked about the first time, that all things are new. That the joy of our identity in Christ, he makes all things new. Did you know when you're born, when a baby is born, it has no past? Does it? All it has is future. When you were born again, your past is gone. It's all washed away by the blood of Jesus. Out of God's mind, he looks at you through the blood. All things are new. And then we talked about the heir wears the name. You wear the name of Jesus. And that's in good times and bad times. It's Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always the same. You know, and if you're perfect, you don't need to change, right? You're the same, always. That'll dawn on you tomorrow sometime, what I just said. But if you want me to go slower, I'll do it. I think you're pretty smart, though. So we're going to talk about just a few in Christ realities today. And you know, I just can't get this out of my mind. I'm trying to get through it. But, you know, when you understand your identity in Christ, there's got to be joy in your heart.
Right.
There's got to be a joy that rises up from somewhere you didn't even know you had. Whoa, and I'm joyful all of a sudden. And it's like things could go wrong, fly out of, you know, off the reservation in your life. But here's what happens is you still got this joy on the inside of you that you can't shake. Why would you want to? You don't want to shake it. It's just there. It doesn't make sense to your mind. People say, "Are you insane? Do you know what you're going? Do you realize what's happening to you?" Yeah. Praise God. It's another opportunity to overcome and kick the devil in the butt. You got your butt in the right place. You know, Dwight, that was a great message last week. I went on the website and listened to it, man. You got to have your butt in the right place. There is no buts when it comes to faith. I'll believe, but no. It says, this is happening, but I believe. That puts an end to what you're going through and opens the door to what you want to go through. Praise God. Thank you for that. You know, it's so good. Lori and I can take a break and take some rest and be confident in knowing that we can give this pulpit to somebody that we can trust. John, when he gives a tithe, wonderful. Rick, you know what? You got a gift, brother. You just say in a word, it'll come out. And you know, it's not our ability to preach. It's the power of the word. The word, the power is in the word. God is in the word. The life is in the word. The blessing is in the word. And the joy is in the Word. There should be joy. When you find out something new about yourself in Christ, you say, that's who I am? That's what I have? Woo! It's like peeling about a new layer, and every layer, under every layer, there's more joy. There's more to find out. There's more excitement. You guys there today? There's excitement. There is power released in your life. You say, I can do all things through Christ. And that strengthens me. His anointing works in me. His word lives in me. It lives big in me. I can do all things through Christ. And that strengthens me. It doesn't make me weaker. It doesn't put me in a vulnerable place that he can't show forth his power in my weakness. Hey, we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be scared of anything. All things, say this, all things are possible to him who believes. That's why the devil is after your faith. Because he doesn't want all things to be possible for you. So he puts up this mirror, this smoke, this thing, and he puts up all of these different things to get you to look at it so that you say, well, maybe this is hard. And then you start looking at God like he's weak. And God has never said, you know what? That's a big problem. That's huge. And I know I'm God and everything, but you're on your own on this one. Did he ever say that? Did Jesus ever talk like that? No! All things are possible to him who believes. Woo-hoo! Boy, yeah. So at work, when they start talking socialism, when they start talking all these lies and everything and repeating all the, and they say, isn't Hamas great? And you go, if you can stand up and say, if you want to cast your lot in with the terrorists who murder people, rape them in front of their kids, and then burn their babies in ovens, and that kind of onslaught, if you want to throw your hat in with them, you go ahead. I'm standing with Israel. I'm standing with God's nation. You know, God has not forsaken. There's this, what do they call it? Where Israel is no longer, you know, no longer God's blessing and it's all gone to the church. No, God has promised to be faithful to Israel. That doesn't mean they're saved. Paul said that, Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they would be saved. They still got to receive Jesus. And there's a lot of them, millions of them that have. Praise God for them. But while they're here, God has promised to be kind to Israel. That doesn't mean they won't be attacked. That doesn't mean they got to stand ready. And God will, and he has done miracles. In the Six-Day War, there were many miracles. I could go on and on and on. But God is standing with Israel. And those who oppose them will pay the price for it. Psalm 122, verse 1. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't know if you can feel it, but I'm happy today. There was joy in David. I was glad. When they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, look, do you know nobody's policing in the back here telling me what I can and can't say? Did you know that you have the right to say what you believe, say what you think, say what you feel without anybody throwing you in jail legally? Thank God for that. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And we have something called the power of agreement, the power of unity. The power of unity was so powerful in Babylon that it posed a threat to God's plan for the maturing of the ages. They could accomplish anything they wanted to do because they were unified. It says that. That posed a threat to God. Do you know how powerful unity is in the earth? So he had to confuse their ability to be unified. And they couldn't understand each other. That doesn't mean they started speaking French and Latin and German and Spanish and all these other languages. That doesn't mean that. No, what it means is they were confused in the language because God interrupted the sound waves. Have you ever stood in front of a fan? And it breaks up your voice and it sounds like 16 voices, you know, when you're talking. Well, that's what, I was getting in the shower one morning. God says, you want to know how I did that? And I said, yeah! And God talks to you in the shower too, right? To, really, we have some serious conversations in the shower. But it's a good time to get, you know, because you're cleaning off. And so, you know, but he said, how do words travel? And I said, through sound waves. He said, that's right. I took the sound waves and went like this and snapped them back. They couldn't understand a word they were saying to each other. And I went, wow, that is so cool. And he says, yeah, it stayed that way as long as I wanted it to. They had developed, that's when they started separating and going out in the world and developing their own languages from that point on. That's when French, Spanish, Latin, Greek, all these other languages started to happen. You know, when God shows you something by revelation, there's nobody can jerk it out of you. It just stays with you. I'll get into my message here sooner or later. But David's heart was filled with joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, by the way. And David was a strong man because he discovered something about his relationship with God wasn't to be based on history or feelings or anything else. It was based on covenant. Covenant relationship made him the most powerful man walking on the earth in his day. Here's what a covenant man says. You believe it. You said it. I believe it. That settles it. God, I believe in your integrity. I thank you, Lord, that you will not be moved from your word. Once you've said it, that's it. It stands forever. And I believe it, and I'm walking in it. And giant, you're done. Goliath, you're done. Do you have joy when you've conquered a certain giant in your life? Do you know the joy that gives you? The get up and go and the giddy up you need to just do it. You can base a lot of future victories on that one giant that you out of your life. And he no longer controls you. He no longer has the say. He no longer dominates this. That's your mind. It's not the devil's. That's your body. In fact, it's the temple of God, your body. The devil doesn't have any right in there. That was two of you. But there's a lot more than that here. He doesn't have a right to go here. He doesn't have a right to go here. He doesn't have a right to fool with your emotions and get you. He doesn't have that legal right. In fact, all of that stuff is illegally done. It's like a cat burglar coming into your house and stealing you blind when you're asleep. They will get away with anything they can, and so will the devil. That's why we need that hedge up. We need to keep that hedge up with prayer. Focus on the word of God and just say, hey, look, I surround this house with the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over this house. This house is surrounded by warrior angels. Their swords are drawn and ready. By the way, that's the pricks that Paul ran into. It was the angels. And when Paul came to Damascus, he was either going to get radically saved or radically dead. Thank God he got saved. Oh, thank God. Thank God you got saved. Praise God. God loves. He's thrilled with you. You know, God is just absolutely thrilled with you. Did you know how thrilled he is with you? He loves you. You're his kid. Do you remember when your kids were born and everything and you saw little toes and little, and they were your life. They were everything to you, right? They were just the pitter-patter of little feet. That was our song every week. You know, it's like, there's a song that goes like that. Have you ever heard that? Alan Jackson wrote that song. Remember when?
Yes, I remember.
Remember when?
It's beautiful.
Alan Jackson. It's a beautiful song. And he's going through all the stages of their marriage, and he says, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Praise God. I wouldn't either, honey. We just had 40 years. So it's obvious that we wouldn't have it any other way. But no one compares to her in my eyes. Maybe if you don't say too much. God, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. You're a man of it. Jesus is, by the way, he is a man right now. Did you know that? He's just as much God as he is man. That's he. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Turn there for a moment. You know, I come here prepared for a lot of things, but it usually takes a right somewhere. And 1 Timothy 2, 5 says this. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. When Jesus said to the Father, yes, I will go, I will leave heaven and I'll go into that pigsty and I'll do what I need to do. That sacrifice forever changed him. He is now a man. What he did for us is amazing. He is eternally a man at the right hand of God. But he is just as much God as the Father is. Amen. He's one with the Father. And you know what? Here's the kicker. He's just as human as you and me. I didn't say he's just as sinful as you. I said he is just as human, spirit, soul, and body as you and me. And when you pray, you got to know that you're looking at a man who gave everything for you so that he could answer those prayers, so that he could bring your prayers before the Father, have the Father breathe them in and exhale his assignment on every one of those prayers that you ever prayed. And in those prayers and in those answers come dreams, visions, plans, opportunities, things to cross your path. You have a God who is not limited except by our lack of faith. Believe in him. I said, I believe in your integrity, Lord. I believe in your word. I believe in the power of liberation of the human soul through your word. Yes. Continue in the truth, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
It is the liberation. You know, Paul called it the law of life in Christ Jesus. James called it the law of liberty. James 1:25. You know, all the kids memorized that first chapter of James. They recited, I was just absolutely knocked right off of my feet when I heard that. Then I said to the parents, I said, now you come up. They said, no, the kids are learning these things. You know, once you memorize a scripture and it starts going in your heart and it starts reproducing itself after its own kind, because it is the seed of life. It is the seed of faith. It is the seed of joy. It is the seed of peace that calms storms. It is the peace that will live in them forever. That's why it's so important. This is why the devil hates the Word of God so much, because it gives kids everything that they need to be everything that they were created to be. It's the bread of life. Praise God. Strength, strength, strength. You know, no amount of griping and complaining has ever helped anybody. But yet I hear a lot of griping and complaining in the body of Christ, and that shouldn't be. That's like trying to get fresh water out of salt water. You don't play in that mess. It's not yours to play in. Just take the fresh water from heaven, the water of the Word, which is able to sanctify, set you apart, and wash you. Jesus said this at the Last Supper. He said, now you are clean through the words that I have spoken to you. We're going to have communion next week. It's going to be powerful. We're going to find out the power that's in those words too. Psalm 107 verse 2 says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." What are you saying lately? Are you agreeing with the problem? Are you agreeing with the doctor? Are you agreeing with the reports on TV? Are you agreeing? Or are you saying what God says about it? Let the redeemed, are you saying about yourself what God says about you? But it continues. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know, the enemy's got plans for you. The enemy is seeking strategies to get into your life. He's seeking inroads to get into your life. And all he needs is an itty-bitty little crack. And you can't do that on your own. You can't fill that crack in. But you know, you have the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, hey, it's powerful. When you speak in tongues, I've got something with 14 benefits of speaking, powerful benefits of speaking in tongues. But you close the door when you do that, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, Paul says, when I pray in tongues, I pray in the Spirit. I am praying mysteries, secrets in the Spirit that God has not hid from you. He's hid them for you, that you obtain them through revelation that comes from praying in tongues, and God starts interpreting back what you prayed. And it just is just a miracle thing. It's a supernatural way that he enters, but it's still got to be faith, because that's what pleases him. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Powerful stuff. Redeemed. That means, you know what redemption redeemed means? It means to be bought back. You've been bought back. Adam gave you to the enemy. God bought you back from the enemy legally with the blood of Jesus. Our bodies are the temple of God. No weapon formed against this temple will prosper. You are forgiven. I mean, think about that. Released from the debt, from an eternal debt that you could not pay. It couldn't be paid. You know, under the Old Testament, let me put it this way. The Bible is about two men. It's about Adam, the first Adam, and the last Adam. Paul, this will open up Paul's revelation to you about who you are in Christ. I mean, we have all the other men, David and Joshua and Moses and Noah and so forth, but it's really only about two men. Adam, who through him, iniquity came into the world. Through the last Adam, Jesus, righteousness came to all who believe. And so if you see that, then the purpose of the new birth becomes obvious. Because when Adam, we inherited Adam's fallen nature. Because we were created to reproduce after our own kind. So when Adam had Cain and Abel, what happened? Cain murdered Abel. He was a murderer because the devil is a murderer from the beginning, Jesus said in John 8:44. When he speaks of his own. He speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, and it started down, and it just kept on going downhill from there. But the Bible is about two men, Adam. In fact, Paul calls the old man, the old you, Adam. And he calls the new you, Christ in you. Amen. So what happened was, Adam only did one sin. He only committed treason. And that's the only. But what happened is, man had to see it and get it out in the open in terms of specific violations where he could see adultery, murder, covetousness, and all these other things. And by the time he got through that, he knew that he couldn't go through one day, no matter how hard he tried, without breaking the law. Jesus came, and he stood on that hill, and he spoke to them. And everything he said in that Sermon on the Mount was the fact, you can't live by this law. That's why I'm here. Believe in me. And he fulfilled the law for us. All the specific, whatever it was, all that sin from Adam to the last person ever lived came on him on that cross and distorted him to a point where he wasn't even recognizable as a man. And he took all that sin, deposited it in hell, and rose up victorious. Amen. When the Father released more power to undo, not only to lift him from the dead, but to undo all the works of the devil from Adam to the last person who ever lived. The power was there when you were born again. The power will be there when they're born again. The power was there when they were born again. Your spirit man is wall to wall, Holy Spirit. Wall to wall, Holy Ghost. You are no longer Adam. You are no longer, you don't have an old man. He's gone. He died. Dead. No longer. And God recreated you out of something that never was before. Material, spiritual material, spiritual life, spiritual DNA from God himself formed in you, birthed in you by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. So when somebody says, oh, are you one of those Holy Ghost people? Yes! Amen. Oh, you're one of those Word people. Yeah! Because without both of those, you can't get saved. So you better be a Word person. You better be a Holy Ghost person. That's my familiar term with the Holy Ghost. Because he doesn't, you know, people get all bent out of shape. You should say Holy Spirit. And I say, yeah, but he's Holy Ghost to me. He loves me, and there's joy in knowing how accepted you are in Christ. Praise God. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to close. It's 1 minute after lunch. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ has, not will be, not gonna do, not maybe sometime in the future, has redeemed us, you, from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for it is written. What did Jesus say when he defeated the devil in the wilderness? It is written. And there is no argument. So if something in under the curse of the law, you can read about that in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68, I believe. That everything under there is a curse of the law. Every sickness, it's all under the curse of the law. But if you don't know how to approach that, it won't do you any good. But when you see that Christ has bought you back from being under that curse, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. God put that in the Old Testament for a reason, because he was foreseeing Jesus being nailed to that tree and taking all of that curse, all of that guilt, all of that shame, all of the manifestations of sin, of iniquity in the human body and in the human life, poverty, everything. He took it all when he was on that cross and went right to hell with it. Why? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. You one of those Holy Spirit people? Oh, yeah. Amen. Because that's where the blessing of Abraham gets teeth into my life, and I start receiving the blessing till it overtakes me. Till it overcomes me. And the blessing of God, the blessing of God, the blessing of God, the blessing that was given to Adam and Eve. God blessed them and said to them. Then he blessed Noah. Noah got drunk. There went the blessing. Although Shem did walk in it for some time. And then you can see essences of the blessing throughout the history of Israel, with the prophets, so forth. You ever notice that? All this legal stuff and law and Leviticus and the world, all these, and the prophets just walked by faith. You ever notice that? They just walked by faith. Elijah walked by. Did you see Elijah doing all these different sacrifices? And is it really ever mentioned? No. Because faith supersedes all of that. That's why the Syrophoenician woman could get her daughter delivered, because her faith overcame what she didn't have any right to. Ooh. You know, you can decide that you believe at any time you want. These are liberating words, right? God is closer to you, nearer to you, and his power is more. You have your hand on the throttle. You just need to put it down and get all you can out of it. Get your hope as high as you can. Get your faith working as much as you can. Get it done. See, did you know that there's a difference between things that are true and truth? I mean, some of you know that. But here's the thing. You think that's semantics. But no, there are things that are true. People are sick. Christians are sick. Holy Ghost, Word of Faith, people have sicknesses. That's true. But whatever the true thing is, there's a higher truth that liberates you from what is true. And when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," free from what? Free from the things that are true. You don't have to settle. You don't have to settle for the little things. Say, "Well, my back is just filled with arthritis. My knees, my hips, my skin, my whatever it is." You know, people go through life. I'm going to close here. People go through life based on things that happened. Okay, you could have a mother that went right off the reservation. You could have a father who was a jerk. You could have a friend that betrayed you, a confidence that you entrusted to them. And people carry these things all their life. At some point, you've got to realize that Jesus Christ went to that. People, you got to live like that. People are living as if Jesus never went to the cross, never paid for your sins, never took those sins on himself, never rose from the dead, and never called you and gave you the very Spirit that was in him, the Spirit of Christ. Gave him gave you the same Holy Spirit that empowered him, and the same Word of God that defeated the devil and all of his enemies. At some point, you've got to rise above that past and put it behind you and say, "No, I am a new creation in Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I have a real Redeemer, a real Savior, a real loving Father who will be with me for eternity. And he has made me someone who can stand through eternity. And that person is in me now. And I will live in eternity in peace with him forever. And I have joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart." In my heart. You see, you got to believe in your heart, not with your head. It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. As it is written. What does it say? As it is written. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Believe with your heart. Not just, "Yeah, I kind of agree with that." It's got to be your life. It's got to be, let that sink down into your heart like an anvil. And let that faith start dictating your decisions, your thoughts, your reactions and responses to life. You've been redeemed and you've been blessed immeasurably. Let's walk in it. Amen. Father, thanks for your word. We thank you, Father, your word is alive. That your word corrects everything that was incorrect. That your word makes right the things that are wrong. That your word corrects our path and makes it straight. We thank you, Father, for those who have gone before us, as we mentioned this Memorial Day weekend. And Lord, we pray for the strength and the courage to stand up. If it costs us our job, if it costs us our freedom, if it costs us our reputation, Lord, let our reputation stand with those who counted freedom to be so precious that they didn't want to live without it, that they'd rather sacrifice their lives and fight for the right for somebody else to have that freedom.
Yeah.
And to pass the torch so that we could pick it up and with a backbone and a spine that comes from you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. That's our resolve. And we will do that with your help, with the multiplication of your grace and peace in our life. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.